So welcome to the Puppet Labs podcast. In this edition, we are going to talk about Puppet Enterprise 3, which was just recently released. And I have with me a few people from the engineering team who are going to talk a little more about it.
I'm Nick Lewis, a developer on the Puppet Enterprise team.
I'm Ruth Linehan. I'm also a developer on the Puppet Enterprise team.
I'm Eric Sorensen. I'm a product owner for Puppet Platform.
Okay, so with that, let's just jump right in. So why don't we start by talking about some of the platform updates that were made in Puppet Enterprise 3 and the performance improvements, since those were both pretty big deals.
Yeah, so we're really excited about Puppet Enterprise 3. It's a release that updates a lot of the portions of the platform. And one of the great side effects of that is some super fast performance and a lot of scalability improvements. Puppet itself, the core of the product, got an update to be based on the current open source release. So now it's Puppet 3.2.2, which is the very latest Puppet open source release that this Puppet Enterprise release is based off of. And there's a lot of neat things that came out since Puppet open source 3.0 was released back in September of last year. Data bindings, new language keywords, and great performance improvements, obviously. One of the big updates is the replacement of our old database engine with the new PuppetDB engine, which Nick was one of the primary authors. So Nick, can you talk a little bit about what it is about PuppetDB that makes it so awesome?
Yeah, so PuppetDB is a replacement for the old active record implementation of store configs, which, as anyone who's used it knows, was excruciatingly slow. So slow that we had to disable the feature until now in Puppet Enterprise. So the first thing that means is that because we have PuppetDB, store configs is now on by default, and you get all the benefits of that. So PuppetDB, at its core, is a storage engine for Puppet-generated data, including catalogs, facts, and reports from when a Puppet agent runs. This data can be used in the form of store configs to configure other hosts based on the configuration of a single node. So for instance, you can configure monitoring by having each of your machines that provides a service export a, say, Nagios service resource. And then your Nagios server can collect those and automatically be configured to monitor all of your production services without the production services having to know who is monitoring them or where or how. So this is really great. And it's a feature that, I mean, I like to refer to as higher order Puppet, because it goes beyond the simple node level to nodes managing other nodes.
Awesome. I think another big update is in the orchestration engine in Puppet Enterprise, which we've had for a while, but the new version brings us up to date with the underlying technology, which is called mCollective, up to the very latest version. And Ruth, I know you worked on a lot of stuff around this. Can you talk about what your favorite part about the new mCollective is?
I think one of the greatest things that it brings is a new mCollective agent for managing Puppet, which there was one in previous versions of Puppet Enterprise, but this one has a number of additional options. So you can run Puppet on all of your nodes and provide a number of options, such as running in no-op mode, providing splays, as well as you could previously disable your agents, but you can now provide a reason for doing that. It also has full support for Windows agents, which wasn't there before.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, the Windows really comes a first-class citizen in this release. We've had support for some Windows versions for a while, but as we said, not every function has been supported on every version of Windows. And now, along with the mCollective support, we also have full Puppet agent support for even the latest Windows Server 2012. And it goes all the way back to, I believe, 2003. So there's a good range of Windows versions that are supported now, which is totally awesome.
The new version of mCollective has added support for direct addressing, which means that you can have a batch mode. So you can broadcast a message to all of your hosts, but only have mCollective act on that action on a few at a time, so that you don't have, you know, a stampeding herd effect, and can just have much better control over the actions that you're rolling out.
Cool. It seems like that would be really awesome if you had a giant server farm and wanted to do a stage deployment and make sure that only, you know, 10% of your servers were working at any time.
Yeah. And I think another great thing in mCollective in PE3 is greater search and filtering abilities. So you can filter on a set of nodes based on Boolean statements and then restrict the actions that your sending out to just a specific set of nodes.
Yeah, that's really great because one of the things you can filter on is the resources being managed by Puppet. So you can, for instance, say restart Apache, but only on the nodes that are running my particular application I want to restart. Because obviously, if you restart Apache everywhere, you're going to have some chaos. And of course, combined with the phased rollout, you can say restart Apache on 10% of my application servers, and then 5 minutes later, roll that out to the next 10%, et cetera. For instance, if you're upgrading an application.
So all of these new mCollective features can be seen in the live management tab in the console. And so if you look under Control Puppet, you'll see that there are a number of options for the run once action on the mCollective agent. And so you can use any of the command line options that you would have in live management in the GUI. Live management in Puppet Enterprise 3 also now has a new resource type that you can browse, which is services. So you can see all of the services on all of your nodes.
So you talked about the support for Windows being beefed up in this version. What other operating system support has been added to the latest versions of Puppet Enterprise?
Late last year, we added support for AIX, you know, IBM's commercial Unix, and that support's extended in Puppet Enterprise 3. The primary platforms that we support are Red Hat, Enterprise Linux, and current Debian and Ubuntu variants.
Puppet Enterprise 3 did add support for Debian 7, Wheezy.
I get all their names confused. It's hard for me. I came from a Red Hat-y background, so it's hard for me to keep the Gibbons from the Squeezies from the...
Yeah, especially Squeeze and Wheezy.
Yeah, I ended up with Squeezy somehow out of that. Let's see. Yeah, so Windows support, AIX support. We're adding in a patch release, which should be out around the time of PuppetConf, support for Solaris and SLES, which are two of our important commercial platforms, but didn't make the cut to get out in the June 25th date.
So let's talk a little bit about how Puppet Enterprise 3 is moving beyond managing individual hosts, which has been a big strength in the past.
Yeah, this sort of falls under the buzzwordy kind of phrase, software-defined infrastructure. And we are one of the primary promulgators of that phrase, as well as one of the early implementers of it. What it means is that we're, like you mentioned, moving beyond the idea of just managing Unix systems and computers into other areas where state-defined configuration management hasn't historically had a strong foothold. And specifically, this is into the area of network devices, storage, and into databases. So even as recently as a couple of years ago at a site I worked at, the sort of state of the art for network administrators to do configuration management was to type a few lines of config into Windows Notepad, select it all, and then cut and paste it into the enable prompt on the router. Somebody who's into Puppet-style configuration management sort of makes you raise your hands and run screaming from the room in horror. So some of the advances in Puppet's abilities in recent releases have been to expand the types of things that we can manage from being just systems into being network switches and storage devices, specifically Network Appliance, which is kind of the leading, you know, appliance storage vendor. And Puppet Enterprise 3 extends these capabilities by making those modules to manage other kinds of devices available from the Forge, and also through a new type of data bindings, which we have, makes it easier to reuse those modules and apply them into your site. Nick, you want to talk about how data bindings work under the hood a little bit?
All right, yeah, sure. So data bindings are a feature of parameterized classes. As far as Puppet 2.6 forward, so for the recent memory, classes can have parameters, which are, you know, just like resource parameters. You can specify variables to modify the state of the class when declaring it. But this can make reusing modules from the Forge a bit difficult because who specifies the defaults for those parameters and who specifies the values? And if one parameterized class declares another parameterized class, how do I get at the internal parameters there? So data bindings are a solution to this problem by separating the code and the logic from the data definition. So this is, it's tied into Hiera. So anytime a parameterized class is declared without a value for a parameter, it will first be looked up automatically in Hiera before falling back to the default. So this means that you can download a module from the Forge and customize its behavior or its data to your liking without having to change any code.
That's pretty awesome. Totally promotes reusability and easy use of it. There were some additions that we had to make to the user interface too, right, Ruth, to support the kind of parameterized classes?
Yeah, so the console now has support for parameterized classes. So you can edit your classes and add any parameter as well as its value into the console, and that will then be used in the modules.
Any other cool updates in the enterprise console that were outside of, we talked a bit about the live management stuff, parameterized classes support. Was there any other cool stuff that we added in this time around?
We removed things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we trimmed fat.
Yeah, we removed some aspects of the console that were either not used or the UI was not very useful or that just didn't really behave very well. So I think that was the compliance feature and file inventory.
Yeah, the file search
were both removed from the console.
It's better to take stuff out that confuses people and ends up with having people push out the wrong change rather than have something in there that is not a great feature. I think another thing that came out was the ability to clone resources in live management, which was something that seemed like a good idea until people actually started using it. And then it turned out that people were making changes that were sort of contrary to the spirit of Puppet overall, right?
Yeah, so the problem was that any resources that you cloned with live management wouldn't be managed by Puppet, which can become rather confusing when everything else is managed by Puppet.
Cool, so there's a great platform update there too, where we updated the technology underneath the console to a newer version of Rails. It's running on a new Ruby stack, we're 1.9.3 across the board. And the Apache and Passenger stacks also got an update too. So kind of across the board upgrade there.
So what's next with Puppet Enterprise?
So like I mentioned, we're going to have a release around the time of PuppetConf, which is in August, to add OS support for a couple of things that didn't make the deadline to get in for the end of June. And additionally, we're going to add upgrade support. Because there is such a big technology shift in a lot of the underlying pieces of Puppet Enterprise between the 2.8 series and the new 3.0 series, it makes upgrading kind of problematic. So new installations work great. Our migration strategy for folks tends to be to, you know, stand up a new instance, try it out, point your clients at that, and then get your manifest and your modules working on the Puppet Enterprise 3. But there's definitely a use case for people to upgrade an existing installation in place, and we totally want to support that. Again, I just couldn't get it done by June, so that'll be out in time for PuppetConf.
Right now, we're working on the upgrade ability for the master, but as Eric mentioned, since there are so many things that have changed under the hood, for now, the way that you should upgrade your infrastructure is to stand up a new master and point your agents at that 3.0 master and upgrade those agents.
Updating from Puppet Enterprise 2 to Puppet Enterprise 3 is a major version jump, and there's some caveats that you got to be careful of while you're updating. Newer agents can't talk to an older master, but the converse is true. So it's good to have stand up a new set of Puppet masters that are running Puppet Enterprise 3. You can repoint your existing agents at them. You can upgrade them all at the same time, but remember that your masters should be updated before the agents get updated. We have a really great document on the docs.puppetlabs.com site about how to upgrade safely and how to make sure that you can test out your existing manifest and modules against Puppet Enterprise 3 before you put it out into production. I mean, this seems like common sense, but we did go through a fair amount of documentation effort to make sure that people could update safely and take advantage of all the great new stuff without causing any production outages, which of course is the sysadmin's worst nightmare.
Yeah, and also a lot of the changes we made were, again, to the underlying platform, which are going to really enable us to do some great things in the coming months, like adding the updates to the orchestration engine and updates to Puppet. PuppetDB obviously adds a lot of capability because we now have all of the data generated by Puppet. So there will definitely be some great pieces of functionality built on those changes.
So my answer was in the immediate term. I think looking a little bit further out, the next feature in line or the next workflow in line to get an update is going to be taking advantage of the stuff that's available in PuppetDB now, specifically the reporting capabilities I think are due for an update. So the Puppet Enterprise 3 demo version is available off of puppetlabs.com. If you go there, there's a huge banner in the middle of the page that says you can download it for free. Works on all the major Linux platforms and should give you a great taste of all the new capabilities that are available to you.
So thank you for listening to the Puppet Labs podcast. If you're interested in learning more about Puppet Enterprise and a lot of the technologies that come together to make Puppet Enterprise, you might want to come to PuppetConf, which is August 22nd and 23rd. So we have talks on most of the things, if not all of the things that we've talked about today. So that's a good place to start. Again, thank you for listening to the Puppet Labs podcast. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Dawn.
Thanks, Dawn.
Thank you.